Worry is one of the common denominators of our human race. It happens to be a universal tendency that cuts across all human boundaries, young, old, rich, or poor. To some extent, each one of us is a worrier. Some of us do it more, some of us do it less. But we all do it, we all worry. And in these days, there is a sense in which it is understandable to worry. Today we all live in a dangerous and uncertain world. Bad things can and do happen to people. And we simply have no way of predicting when or to whom it's going to happen. And you put those two factors together, and some degree of worry seems to be inevitable to all of us. And that's why we may as well simply face the fact and not waste a lot of time feeling guilty about it. In this life, we may never completely conquer the problem of worry that is ours. But at the same time, we also need to know that worry happens to be a dangerous enemy. At best, worry will waste our precious energies. It will undermine our happiness. It will paralyze our efforts, and sometimes reduce our productivity. The word worry happens to come from an old English word, rygen, which means to strangle. To strangle. And that happens to be an accurate definition of worry at its worst. Worry can literally sabotage our health. And for some people, it can destroy their life or meaning to their life. Now, once we understand and recognize worry for what it is, that it can become a serious threat to our effective living, then we all need to take some kind of practical steps to overcome it. And that happens to be the subject of what Jesus just told us in the gospel. In a few brief, well-chosen words, Jesus talked to his followers then about this problem of worry. And what he said was so very simple, and it also makes so very much sense, that if you and I would take to heart what he said and put his words to work, we would be able to overcome worry and not allow it to overcome us. The first thing he said that we should do is to remind ourselves of the constant, ongoing presence of God and God's providence in our lives. That God is a code word for a living, spiritual presence that dwells within us. In this presence, we all live and move and have our very being one moment at a time. Most of our worry grows out of the awareness that we have of our own inadequacy. It's instinctive. But we all come to know, especially as we become older, that this whole business of living today is simply too big for any one person to handle with her or his own strength. So many of the things that affect our lives are seemingly beyond our control. Now, to some extent, we are able to control how we do react to events as they come along. But we are not able to control the events themselves. They come and go each day. A classic example today, of course, is economic inflation, about which Jesus talked then. That day by day, little by little, the cost of everything keeps going higher and higher. And we ask, what can the average person do about this inflation? There are a few things. Some people work a little harder, a little longer, try to make more money, but that does not help the person on a fixed income, or the person who has no job and is not able to get one. We also could try to reduce our standard of living, tighten up the family budget, major on necessities, and cut out the extras. But none of these efforts overcomes the fact that the cost of the basic necessities still keep going higher and higher, and we keep ourselves wondering how, in heaven's name, we're going to pay for it eventually. Now, the followers of Jesus, in his own time, obviously had similar doubts and difficulties about their lifestyle. Perhaps the cause then was not the problem of inflation as it is today, but their concerns were the same. The basic necessities of life, that is what always concerns and worries people. And Jesus reminded them that they were overlooking the all-important fact of the mystery of God's living presence within them that kept them as people going each moment. And that is why he used the illustrations he did, which to us might seem so impractical. The birds that Jesus feeds, even they work for their food, it seems. But the wildflowers, dressed in splendor, they don't work for it. But then, of course, they ask the embarrassing question, will the Father not also provide for you? Now, we must remember, in the midst of all of our worries, that we are not alone in all of this. Everything does not depend upon us. We do have a Father who is with us all of the time and all of the way. A mysterious presence in whom we live and move, who has brought us this far until 4:30 this afternoon, in whom we can go on placing our trust in the future, as much of it is as there is left. He will see us through. We do the best we can and put our trust in this mysterious presence. The next thing we'd learn is to remind ourselves of the futility, the fruitlessness of worry. Jesus asked his own people, which of you by worrying can add one single moment to your lifespan? The answer to the question is obvious. Worry will never increase our life by a single moment, not even the quality of our life. In fact, if anything, it could decrease both the length and the quality. The plain truth of it is that worry, in the long run, produces nothing. Nothing at all. And even worse, it could become counterproductive. It could complicate the very problems about which we are concerned. I remember one time a college professor telling me that his students, from his own observation, worried at least twice as much about their work as the time they spent doing it. And if the estimate he gave is correct, then the worry of those students really made it three times as hard to do the work as necessary. And we wonder, is it possible that we adult people could be inflicting the same kind of burden upon ourselves? One of the most foolish things we can do is simply sit and worry. If we do have a problem to solve, a job to do, the best thing to do is get up and try to do it. But if we discover that it is really beyond our reach, that there's absolutely nothing that we can do about it, then we should have the good sense to turn it over to God, dwelling within us, and then go on to other matters. And pray that ancient, ancient prayer. God, give me the courage to change the things I can and the serenity to accept the things I cannot and the wisdom to know the difference. To make that a prayer. There's one more thing we can do in our war on worry, and that is to train ourselves to learn to live one day at a time. It's easier said than done. I know you know that by now. But Jesus did say, enough about worrying about tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Now that, of course, is a form of Hebrew humor. When Jesus says, today has troubles of its own, he did not mean that we should not look ahead and try to make plans and preparations for the future. There are always problems that we can anticipate and even solve before they happen. An ounce of prevention is always worth a pound of cure. One single trip to the doctor at the right time could prevent 6 months of worry, and it could even save your life. To have the foresight not make the mistake of trying to carry the burdens of tomorrow today. I remember an old man on his deathbed saying to me, Father, I've had a lot of trouble in my life, most of which never happened. We don't want that to happen to us. There's a great deal of wisdom and a touch of humor in the words of Jesus. Let tomorrow take care of itself. No one of us here is able to carry today's burdens, which are real, together with tomorrow's burdens, which are imaginary. What a difference if we could learn and internalize the words of Jesus. Remember that the mysterious presence of God is always with us. Don't fret about anything over which you have no control, and learn how to live one day at a time. We might never be able to solve the problem of worry, but at least we could handle it, rather than allow it to handle us.